Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and with the arrival of this day, we begin not just a new season, we begin a whole new liturgical year. Last Sunday, we brought the year to a close, and we set out again at the beginning with Advent as we move through this cycle of this new year. Advent is a season rich in meaning, rich in opportunities, rich in symbols, and yet it can so often get lost. It can be hidden to us. We might even miss it. It can get overwhelmed by the celebration of Christmas, which is in full swing in the world around us, a celebration that began the day after Thanksgiving and at its best will last till New Year's Day, although every year I see Christmas trees cast aside on December 26th. It makes me sad. But that celebration in the world around us can overwhelm our Advent. It can be easy for us to miss this season of preparation, this season preparing us to celebrate Christmas, which of course we do from December 24th through the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th. It can be easy for Advent to get overwhelmed by all the activity, by the busyness, by parties and decorating and gift buying and gift giving. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but they can get in the way of our experiencing the fullness that Advent has to offer. Rather than all that busyness and that frenetic activity, Advent begins quietly, lighting a single candle on our Advent wreath, that one small flame shining in the darkness. By the end of the season, there'll be four, but it still doesn't seem like very much. And yet, that light will triumph over the darkness. Advent offers us that radical hope that in the face of the reality of our world, we can trust the assurances of the prophets, that what they prophesied will come to pass, that God hears our cry, that God knows the pain of this world, that God will act to dismantle the oppressive powers of injustice that rule the earth. And so we have the watchwords of the season: wait, watch, prepare. And so we're called to patiently, to actively watch for God to visit us, to expect God to break into this age, bringing us the promise of the kingdom of God, that things as they are will change, that what we experience here is not all there is, that God's reign will indeed be ushered in fullness. Now, while we're waiting, while we're watching, while we're expecting God's deliverance, it can lead us to wonder, why doesn't God just act now? Why doesn't God step in and fix this world? Why doesn't God step in and end poverty, economic exploitation, war, injustice? It might even lead us to ask, where is God? Has God forgotten us? These are questions that the people of God have asked for millennia. We hear them in our first lesson today from the prophet Isaiah. The people want God to act and act now, and to act as God has acted in the past, to in some dramatic way vanquish their enemies, to act as dramatically as God did at the Red Sea, parting that sea, letting the people of Israel pass through on dry ground, and then overwhelming the Egyptians. But instead, the people of Isaiah's time are experiencing God as hidden, as distant. They worry that maybe God has abandoned them. And so the people struggle to understand how a God who once acted so powerfully does not do so in the present. Now, the passage is written after the Babylonian conquest, when the Babylonians come in and overwhelm the people of Israel. They destroy the temple. They destroy Jerusalem. They cart the people off into exile. And so these words come at a time of great challenge and social upheaval for the people. And so the people fear God is abandoning them. God is not listening to them. God is not acting. But they need to come to understand that God is the same God. It is the God who is still listening and will always listen, who is indeed present. But that God does not always act as they might hope or desire. But God is the same God, has the same nature as the God who acted at the Red Sea. It is the same God who hears the cry of the people, who does not abandon them, who will finally redeem all, creating a new heaven and a new earth. And so the lesson ends with that promise that God is acting, but maybe not as dramatically as in the past. For we have the image of God as Father, and we have the image of God as Potter. A different way that God is present to the people. It's more tender. It's more intimate. Images that are very personal, that are very strong with that intimate connection between God and God's people. Images of God caring for the people, of even forming and shaping the people into the people that God would have them be, just as a potter shapes and forms the clay. And so the Advent call to us is to remember that God hears our cry, that God does act, that God breaks into the present, though perhaps not as we might expect, perhaps not even in ways that we always recognize. Certainly not always as dramatically and forcefully as we might like. But Advent calls us to remember that God is indeed active in the world, but is active largely in a non-coercive manner, that God comes to us in love, in suffering, in vulnerability, rather than in domination and force, rather than in those dramatic scenes of deliverance. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor living at the time of the World War II and the rise of the Nazis. He was a pastor in Germany, and he was part of a group of pastors who resisted the Nazis. He would not collaborate with them. He even went so far as to take part in an attempted assassination of Hitler. He was nonviolent, did not believe in murder, but thought if Hitler was to be killed, it would save the people. Their plot failed. Bonhoeffer was arrested and ended up in a concentration camp. And shortly before the Nazis put him to death in 1944, he wrote about his experience of the hiddenness of God. Here's what he wrote from prison. God would have us know that we must live as people who manage our lives without God. The God who is with us is the God who forsakes us. The God who lets us live in the world without the working hypothesis of God is the God before whom we stand continually. Before God and with God, we live without God. God lets himself be pushed out of the world onto the cross. God is weak and powerless in the world, and that is precisely the way, the only way, in which God is with us and helps us. So Bonhoeffer asserts that God can be hidden from us. God can leave us to our own devices, even to choose to not follow God. And that God is with us in suffering, for God is the God of the cross. And so for Bonhoeffer, this realization is not a denial of faith, but a strengthening of his faith, that acceptance that it is God who is God of the cross. It is God whose power is in suffering, whose omnipotence is vulnerability. Our gospel today seems at first blush to contradict this in some ways, for we have this image of God returning in the person of Jesus in great glory and power, coming with the angels, gathering the elect from the four corners. It's an image of glory, of power, of strength. But I think it's important to remember that when Jesus returns in glory, his body bears the scars of his passion. His body bears those marks of his crucifixion. We heard that in our opening hymn, hymn 57, that when Jesus comes, he shows those scars. It is the same Jesus. And so we have this one who returns to judge, the one who endured the passion. And it's an image, Jesus coming in glory, not unlike the image of the resurrection itself. Ched Myers, who's written a book called Say to This Mountain, Mark's Story of Discipleship, suggests that this image of Jesus is very much the image of the resurrection, and that Jesus is trying to reassure his disciples in uncertain times. Through the resurrection, the power of God triumphs over all the evil forces of this world, even death itself. And so Jesus is saying to his followers, don't be afraid. Do not give in to despair. Don't withdraw to the world saying, there's nothing I can do. But instead, trust in God's power to save and deliver you. These words of Jesus in Mark's gospel were very important, for they reassured the followers of Jesus in dangerous times. For in the year 66, there was a Jewish revolt trying to fight off Roman occupation. A war emerged between those who were fighting to free the Jewish people from Rome and the forces of Rome itself. Mark's community, those first followers of Jesus, practiced nonviolence. They would not fight in this conflict. And so they were right in the middle, persecuted both by synagogue and by Romans. For no one was happy with their stance and wanted them to take sides. This divided families and even led to not just persecution, but divisions within the Christian community and people fleeing to take up arms. So Mark is reminding the followers of Jesus to live by the words of Jesus, to practice that nonviolence of the cross, knowing that that force of the cross is how the oppression of this world is put to end, how the powers of this age are overthrown, that earthly powers and principalities are no match for the fierce love of God, a love that defeats sin, that overcomes death itself. And so Jesus calls his followers to remain fast, to keep awake. That sounds an awful lot too in Mark's gospel, like what Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's killed. He says, "Stay awake with me and pray, just for 1 hour." It's that call to stay awake in the face of the dark history of this world, to be awake, watching and waiting for God to enter into human history. That commitment to live by hope, that God can transform this time for God's purposes. And so we have the gift of this season of Advent, a season that bids us to trust the longings and the hopes of the prophets of old, to know that God hears the cry of God's people, that God will transform this world into the kingdom of God, and that God is not hidden, but is revealed in the loving humility of the cross, in the vulnerability of love stronger than death, is made known to us in God coming among us as a helpless baby in Bethlehem. And so the Advent call is for us to see this world as it is, not to ignore it, not to retreat from it, to see it honestly, to know the pain and the sadness and the despair present in our world, but seeing this as an experience of the cross, of that suffering of Jesus which redeems the whole of creation, and to lift this pain to God in prayer, that God may transform it and use it, and that we might be strengthened to face the realities of this world, to experience its brokenness, and allow God to use us to usher in the kingdom now at this time. That through our witness, others may indeed come to know that powerful love of God, stronger than all powers of this age, to trust that God has indeed not abandoned us, but is with us even now. Amen.